Mark chapter 12, verse 10. And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, the subject before us this morning is Jesus Christ, God's cornerstone. And last week, as we continue through the Gospel of Mark, we noticed how the authority of the Son of God was questioned. We noticed how God's servants, the prophets, were rejected. And we notice, finally, the awesome, terrible treatment of God's Son, which is recorded for us in the parable that we read. Having yet therefore one son, his well-beloved, he sent him also last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be heirs. And they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. What shall therefore the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen and will give the vineyard unto others. Well, this verse 9 speaks to us of God's judgment. You see, the great privilege of presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world was first given to the Jews. But sadly, this had to be taken away from them because of their rejection of the gospel of God. And it had to be given to the New Testament church to proclaim the gospel of God. And sadly, it is still this case today that, by and large, the Jewish nation reject Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And so, sadly, right at the very outset, they would have had the great privilege of presenting the gospel worldwide, but because of their rejection of the Messiah, then God worked through his New Testament church that was made up of believers from both Jew and Gentile. And so the Jews actually at the same time lost their privileged status as a nation in their rejection of the Messiah. God had been a very special God to them, providentially, sovereignly. They were his chosen nation, providentially. He gave them Canaan land, and he provided for them in many, many wonderful ways. And he sent them prophet after prophet after prophet to teach them the right way. But in the parable, we read how they rejected prophet after prophet. That is what it's speaking about. Ultimately, they come to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only beloved Son. So this unbelief and this rebellion and rejection of God and his only beloved Son, it will have its final judgment. But you see, the rejection of Jesus Christ by the Jewish leaders could not halt the wonderful growth of God's church. Several times the converted Jewish apostles took the gospel message first to the Jews when they traveled out to the different towns and cities. We read they went to the synagogues first. They gave them the first opportunity. But when they were thrown out of the synagogues, then they went and spread the message of the gospel to the Gentiles. And the gospel continued to be spread. And so it is today. If we deny the Lord and we fail to honor his name and proclaim his name according to God's gospel, God will take that privilege away. And he will give it to another, because God's kingdom will continue to grow. But if we deny God's name, and if we deny the very principles, the fundamental foundation principles of God's word, it won't happen straight away, but over a period of time, God will take that away. And other churches have to take that responsibility that the work might go on. This is why so many liberal churches who have denied the word of God and deity of Jesus Christ have closed. Others no longer have the privilege of proclaiming the gospel. They serve the side of spiritual darkness because they deny the very word of God. We hear this time and time again, sadly, of churches who deny that Christ really is the Son of God, or Christ is the only way of salvation. And of course they have no message left. And so God takes away that privilege of being his servants, his ambassadors. But the work goes on. And so God uses others And so it was with the Jews. The Gentiles primarily were used to, as they were converted, to present the gospel of Jesus Christ under the leadership of the apostles. But then we come now, moving from God's judgment on the because of the rejection of Jesus Christ and the way in which they treated the Lord Jesus Christ while here upon earth, to God's victory in Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. That is really our main message this morning. Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. It's a wonderful theme. And it's so encouraging for us this morning. As we live in this world which is so anti-Christ and ridiculed. We have a stone. A stone which the builders rejected. The religious leaders reject. All the other religions reject. If there's one thing unites other religions, it is the rejection of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. If you want to just summarize it in one sentence, it is this key point. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is rejected. But he has become the head of the corner in God the Father's sovereign will. And so Jesus quotes from Psalm 118. And we read that psalm last week. Psalm 118, verses 22 to 23. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. Chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It's tis marvelous in our eyes. And this refers to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The rejected stone. Jesus Christ the Messiah has been exalted, become the head of the corner. Now, God has overruled then in his perfect will and sovereign way. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. As we read these verses, is it marvelous in your eyes? Marvelous? Wonderful? That the Lord Jesus Christ should come from heaven and take upon himself a body, be rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and yet all the time being the very chosen one of God to be the Savior of the world, and go to Calvary and there suffer, bleed and die on behalf of all those ordained unto eternal life, all those who put their trust in him. And then rise again gloriously on the third day, and ascend to heaven, now on the throne, as our great high priest in heaven above. Is this marvelous in your eyes? Well, if it is marvelous, then the Spirit of God has done that in your life. Because it is the Holy Spirit of God that makes Christ marvelous in our eyes, the power of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, here, the mystery, the power, the wisdom, the ways, the sovereignty of God, making Jesus Christ, his only beloved Son, the chief cornerstone of the church, the head and foundation of the church. Now, this term, the chief cornerstone, the head of the corner here, what it means, the chief cornerstone, is a symbolic reference to the chief foundation stone of the temple. That is the first stone that was laid deep down at the foundation in the valley, and all the other stones were aligned to this one stone, and the whole edifice grew from the alignment of that one stone. It was the first stone to be laid. It was the most important stone to be laid. The whole building rested upon it. The whole building was aligned to it. It is the stone that all the other stones are aligned to. It's the principal point of the building. And if that stone was misaligned, the whole building would be misaligned. Now, we, some years ago, had thing you build on the back of your conservatory, that's it, yeah. And they laid the foundations of the conservatory, and it wasn't quite square onto the building. I looked at this, I thought, that's strange, it's not been aligned straight, it's not been aligned square. And so I called the people in before they brought the conservatory. Oh, they said, we can't lay the conservatory like this because it would make the conservatory out of line. Well, there's a problem. He said, that first stone that was laid was slightly out. And because of that, everything else has been out of line. Now, it's not like that with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. He's straight. He's pure. He's holy. He's wise. He's the chief stone. And we can, with all assurance, by faith, align our lives to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we rest on him and we align our lives to him, then we can be sure we are walking upon the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The cornerstone. He's in perfect position. He's perfectly aligned. He's perfectly aligned to the will of God, his Father. He's perfectly aligned to the movement of the power of the Holy Spirit in his whole ministry. And he is the one on whom the whole edifice of the church rests. And the apostles, they built the doctrine upon the teaching of Christ. It's very interesting to read that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Yes, they were laying the foundation of the doctrines of grace, which we so love. But Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Paul and his teaching, you'll see, if you look at Paul's writings, you look at Peter's writings and John's writings, you will see that they keep coming back to Christ. They keep aligning themselves to this foundation stone. One of the great characteristics of the letters in the New Testament is their alignment to Christ. They keep aligning themselves to Christ. And so the church today has Christ as the chief cornerstone. We rest on him. We are aligned to him. We're attached to him. And we depend upon him. So, who is the foundation stone of your life this morning? What is the focal point of your life this morning? Now, when I was a young lad, I passed my driving test when I was 17. And as it happened, I was very fortunate in a way. There was a lady in where we worked, and she had a nice Mini, and she wanted to sell this Mini. Well, I hadn't got enough money to buy this Mini, but she said that I could pay for it in installments. She was a very kind lady, actually. So here was I, an apprentice, with quite a new Mini, and I was paying it without interest by installments. A very kind lady. She wanted it to go to someone she knew. Her husband had died. And you know, that little Mini, I was unconverted, and it became my pride and joy. It was my idol. And I painted a stripe on it. And I put some wheel arches on it. And I had a special bore exhaust on it. You know what we used to do, those of us who are my age, we used to do with our cars. And it would make a very throaty noise. It had a very small engine, but it sounded very powerful. It wasn't really. Any case, I was very pleased with this car. I would wash it and polish it and look at it, take pictures of it. And I would make sure it was parked in a car park away from the factory car park, because the lorries might scratch it. And one day, I'd come back to work to the car park, and the car was gone. It was stolen. And my whole world just collapsed around me. And I realized, actually, my life was centered around that car. It was my freedom. I could drive around anywhere I liked. And it was my freedom. It was my pride and joy. But I was distraught because my whole life was centered on this car. And we need to ask ourselves the question this morning. What is our life depending on? Are we on the chief cornerstone? You know the parable of the Lord Jesus regarding the sand and the rock. The children sing it in the Sunday school. And our lives this morning are either being built on the sand or on the rock, Christ Jesus. There is no in between. There's no sort of a bit of aggregate in the middle, which is, it's okay, it'll get you by. No. You're living your life either on the sand which is so vulnerable, or you're living your life on the rock, the chief cornerstone, Christ Jesus. Some friends of ours, some years ago, they lived up in the Midlands, and they had a very nice house, really, but they had problems with this house. Cracks kept appearing in the walls. And on one occasion, the crack was over an inch wide, so it was a real serious problem going on. Somewhere there was a problem. So they tried to underpin the foundations, and that didn't really work, and eventually the insurance company brought an engineer. And they drilled right down, a great big drill, to find out what was going on. And they realized that actually this house had been built right on top of a mine shaft. That actually, below the house was actually a deep hole. And they had to put tons and tons and tons and tons of concrete into this hole and fill up this shaft with concrete to get the house to be stable again. And you know, our lives are like that. If we're not in Jesus Christ this morning, we're not trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, cracks will begin to appear in our thinking. Cracks will begin to appear in our attitude and in our behavior, the way we tackle things in our lives. As an unbeliever, you'll find that there's various cracks appear in your life. And you have to ask yourself the question, what's going on? Well, you need to go to the foundation of your life. And Jesus Christ is the foundation we need in our life. He's the foundation of the church. He's the foundation we need in our church. It's Christ and Christ alone. Do we have an immovable, unchangeable, faithful, wise foundation in our life? We have such a foundation before us this morning. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Is he marvelous this morning to you? Is he precious, the one thing needful? But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, disallowed, has become the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. Well, let's think about this a little bit more. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of creation. The Bible is God's word to mankind. And God has given his account of creation in the first chapters. And the simple account of creation has not been adapted, altered, or adjusted from the very time it was written by Moses. There has not been any alteration made, mold into what man's ideas are. The word of God remains. In the beginning, God. And that's what remains today. It has come from the beginning of time, from Adam, the first man to be created, down to us this morning. Confirmed by the Holy Spirit to Moses, who wrote the book of Genesis over 3,500 years ago. It has stood the test of time. Now, fundamental to creation is Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. He was with the triune God in the whole work of creation, with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things created were by him and for him. Christ is the very cornerstone of creation. He is the one who is the creator of the universe, together with the Father and the Son. And the Word of God says to us that the Father was very pleased to create through His Son, Jesus Christ. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. By whom? So Christ was there at the very beginning of time. The work of creation is aligned to the Creator, Christ Jesus, the cornerstone. The whole creation, as we look at creation, and we will see the spring coming into life again, the leaves coming on the trees. Think of this, Christ as the Creator, the cornerstone of creation. But then Christ is the cornerstone of life's values, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is the perfect example of life. He lived out what He taught to perfection. And so the church, as it rests upon the cornerstone, it worships Him as the Creator, but it also understands that our whole life, our whole lifestyle, the way in which we order our affairs, is aligned to Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. He is the cornerstone of life's values. God in His Word, the Bible, sets out real principles about life and how we should live them. Love God and love one another. Be forgiving, be giving. Pray for one another, be holy. And Jesus Christ was the perfect demonstration of God's values for living. No one loves the Father like the Son and the Holy Spirit. No one loves one another like Jesus Christ. No one forgives to the extent that Christ forgives. No one has given to the extent that Christ has given, who's given of Himself. No one intercedes in prayer like Christ. And no one is holy like Christ in and of themselves. But we look to Christ. Christ is the example, and we seek to walk in His footsteps with God's help, because Jesus Christ is the perfect demonstration of God's values for living. He is the perfect cornerstone to align your life to. But then, of course, Christ is the very cornerstone of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given unto heaven whereby we must be saved. We are not saved by aligning ourselves to a religion. We're not saved by aligning ourselves to a denomination. We're not saved by aligning ourselves to a particular way we dress or behave. We're not saved by being baptized. We're not saved by being confirmed or christened. We're not saved by our good deeds. We're not saved by being simply in a so-called Christian family. We are saved by nothing other than the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By believing in Him and in Him alone, God, for His great love for sinners, sent His Son, and He was the one who lived the perfect and holy life, and suffered and died upon the cross, given His life in perfect submission as the perfect sacrifice for the sin of all those who believe in Him. God's holiness and justice demanded a sacrifice for sin, and sin had to be dealt with. Sin had to be accounted for. It's a great debt. But forgiveness is obtained in and through the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is why the Apostle Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Isn't that a wonderful, liberating statement? When you think about it, we're surrounded by so many issues that affect us and wonder, and should we do this, should we do that? But Paul was very clear in his thinking. He didn't go to Corinth and lay down a whole set of rules and that is what will make you a Christian. He looked at that sin-laden city and he simply preached Jesus Christ. and him crucified as the cornerstone of salvation. And when the people, by God's grace, came to Christ in repentance and trusted in him, their lives were transformed because of their union with Christ. And that was the key. And that is the key today. It's the key is our union with Jesus Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Now, some years ago, I read about a book that had been written about things people said just before they died. And this researcher couldn't find any person, any statement from any person that said on their deathbed they regretted having Jesus as their saviour. He couldn't find one. He found thousands and thousands of people that said, I regret the sin in my life. I regret rebelling against God and following the dictates of the devil and my own will and rebellion. Oh, many has been that sad cry on a deathbed. But no one has ever regretted on their deathbed having the Lord Jesus Christ as the cornerstone of their life, because he's their hope. But then Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of peace. Now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Christ is the only way of peace with God. Christ is the only foundation and reference point for believers for peace. There is no peace without Christ being the centre part of our lives. There is no peace without Calvary. Christ is the epicentre, the Prince of Peace. And we look to him. But then, Christ is the cornerstone of judgment. Christ is the cornerstone of judgment. We read in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So, God the Father not only has created the worlds through Jesus Christ, he not only saved sinners through Jesus Christ, but at the end of the world, he has delegated the responsibility as the Father to the Son, judgment. The Bible teaches us of a judgment day when Christ will judge the world. And the secrets of every man's heart will be revealed on that great day of judgment. There are time when his true and perfect judgment will emanate from his perfect wisdom of all matters. And the question is this morning, will we be found clothed in his righteousness, not our own, secure under his precious redeeming blood? Oh, think of this, friends. There's only one way in which we will be able to stand and smile at our Saviour, Jesus Christ the Lord, knowing that we have a union with him. Yes, we will stand before him as our judge in terms of being accountable for God in the way in which we live their lives. But that judgment of believers will be totally different from the judgment of unbelievers. Christ will reveal to us their lives, but in the context of being his children, in the context of being saved by his precious blood, we'll be secure in him. And the final result of that judgment for us will be an eternity of praising our Saviour. Oh, how marvellous that the Lord Jesus should save me. And it's been revealed to me what a wretched person I was. All these secret sins are now there. And yet I'm saved. And the wonder of the precious blood of Jesus Christ will fill eternity. And Christ will be the very focal point of our praise for all eternity. And we'll never cease to praise and thank him for delivering us from that awful eternal eternity in hell. And we'll marvel at his wonderful precious blood and power, his precious righteousness. And so Christ is the cornerstone of salvation, the cornerstone of peace, the cornerstone of judgment. But finally, Christ is the cornerstone of the church, the cornerstone of the church. Now, I want us to see this morning, as we come to conclusion, that we are living in a day where Satan is laying his epicenter of attack against the name of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The greatest force of attack is Antichrist. I read this week that a new West End comedy is seeking a stroppy teenager to play the Lord, and the candidate could be a girl or an atheist or someone of another religion or a boy, anyone who has a real hatred for Christ. That's how the advert went. And that's shocking. It shocked me, but it should shock you. But that's the world in which we live. We have to be real. We have this sanitized view in a so-called Christian nation. This isn't a Christian nation. We're living under a nation where even the leaders are attacking God's word, attacking Christ. And he is the focal point of the attack. And Satan goes straight to the foundation. He goes straight to this chief cornerstone. If he could remove this chief cornerstone, he knows the whole edifice of the church will collapse. And if that can be damaged, and if he can move people off Christ the cornerstone and start trusting in other sandy foundations, he knows the whole thing will collapse. And he knows if the church becomes out of alignment to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he knows that without Christ there will be no church and no hope. It is upon Christ that the apostles wrote the doctrine of the church. For other foundation can no man lay, which is Christ Jesus. And so, friends, let us be men and women who understand the days in which we live. Christ, the chief cornerstone, is set before you this morning. How do we respond to this? And have you not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in their eyes, and they sought to lay hold on him, but they feared the people, for they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. Are you going to leave him this morning and go your way? Say, no, not for me. Please think about this. Please pray. And if you feel that stirring within you, please pray the Lord to help you, grant you the gift of repentance and faith. We can't do this in our own strength, but God will help us. God will enable us. If we look to him and pray, and if you believe in him, you will not be mistaken. Christ will not let you down. He will not prove to be a myth or a false foundation. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, Peter says, elect, precious, and him that believeth on him shall not be confounded. You will not be confounded. And God the Father has set his Son as the head of the church. And this is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. And the word marvelous here means something to be wondered at, marveled at, overwhelmed by, humbled by. And if you don't feel that this morning, you don't feel to be overwhelmed by it, ask the Lord to overwhelm you. Ask the Lord to touch your heart, to open your heart, that it might reveal the wonders of these truths to you this morning. I mean, our hearts by nature are stones. They're like rock. And only the Holy Spirit of God can soften our hearts and open us to receive the word of God. We don't receive these things by nature. We need God to work in our lives. But if we seek God and if we ask the Father, he will come, because the word of God says, if we seek him. So the one rejected by man and still being rejected by man today is the very one that God the Father has ordained to be the Saviour and the Lord and the very cornerstone of the church. Oh, may God help us this morning to look to him and to trust in him for his name's sake. Amen.